理课堂听 class.com。
Unit 3. Ways to Success. Part 1. Communication Skills. Making Compliments. Task 2. Listen to the following dialogue and fill in the missing words or phrases.
Diane Grant?I haven't seen you for ages.
Brian, how have you been?
Pretty good. Say, you've really changed.
Oh, well, I've lost some weight, and my hair is longer than before.
You look great. I like your hairstyle very much. How are you doing?
I'm doing really well. I got married about 3 years ago. I have a son now. Here are the photos of my kid.
That's terrific. What a cute boy. Task 3. Listen to the following dialogue and fill in the missing information.
Hello.George, I heard that you redid your backyard. I thought I'd drop by and take a look.
I'm so glad you could come. Let's sit here so we can see the garden as the sun goes down.
Your garden is beautiful, George. And you say you laid it down yourself?
That's right.
No kidding. It looks...as if it grew out naturally.
It took some time to do it.
George, I see that you measured everything just right. Everything looks like a picture postcard. The fountain is in the middle. You've planted identical trees in each corner. And those flowers in your garden are planted in a way that looks just right.Everything's in harmony.
Thanks, Bob. Just like you, I always take pride in my work. But when someone compliments me on it, I always appreciate it.
Task 4. Listen to the following dialogue and answer the questions.
I heard you're going out with Jack.
Yes.To be frank, I really like him.
You're so lucky.
Why do you say that?
Why? Are you kidding me? A boy like him is so hard to find. So caring, so patient, and, did I mention, so handsome.
It's very nice of you to say so.
Well, it's not a compliment. I'm saying it from the bottom of my heart.It's obvious that he's head over heels in love with you.
I sure hope so.
Part 2. Theme-related activities. Task 1. Listen to the tape and do the following exercises. What is being successful? 1.Listen and decide whether the following statements are true or false.
Greg Zeman, president of Vernon Hills, based CDW Computer Centers Incorporated, knew at a young age what he had to do in order to become successful. Growing up as one of four children raised by a single mother, Zeman was determined to go beyond the blue-collar neighborhood he lived in. Zeman held many odd jobs during his youth. "My mother refused to go on welfare," he explains. "She worked three jobs at some points to make it happen." In order to help his mother, at 10 years old, he got a job cleaning the bottle. During his high school days, he got his first taste of sales by selling souvenirs at the stadium. Zeman attended Marquette University, but the road to graduation wasn't easy. It took him 6 years to get through college. In 1987, he was in line for several jobs. One of them at CDW Computer Centers Incorporated. He decided to take a risk by joining as an account manager in the sales community. He quickly rose from sales manager all the way up to president at age 32. "For every individual, success is different," he notes. "If you are doing the best you can do, to me, that is being successful. If the person is enjoying what he is doing, that's his level of success." Zeman looks to two people as major influences on his life. "My mother spent 30 years on an assembly line," he says proudly. "She recently went to college to get her GED at 58 years old." He also admires CDW chairman, CEO Michael P. Krasny. He explains, "His business sense helped me get where I am today." Zeman recommends that college graduates don't look for the job that pays the most right out of the gate. "My big thing was that I was a risk taker," he explains. "I gained experience at a couple of different places and used that to move up. For Zeman, it was a matter of stepping back in order to move forward."
Listen again and write down the answers to the following questions.
Greg Zeman, president of Vernon Hills, based CDW Computer Centers Incorporated, knew at a young age what he had to do in order to become successful. Growing up as one of four children raised by a single mother, Zeman was determined to go beyond the blue-collar neighborhood he lived in. Zeman held many odd jobs during his youth. "My mother refused to go on welfare," he explains. "She worked three jobs at some points to make it happen." In order to help his mother, at 10 years old, he got a job cleaning the bottle. During his high school days, he got his first taste of sales by selling souvenirs at the stadium. Zeman attended Marquette University, but the road to graduation wasn't easy. It took him 6 years to get through college. In 1987, he was in line for several jobs. One of them at CDW Computer Centers Incorporated. He decided to take a risk by joining CDW as an account manager in the sales community. He quickly rose from sales manager all the way up to president at age 32. "For every individual, success is different," he notes. "If you are doing the best you can do, To me, that is being successful. If the person is enjoying what he is doing, that's his level of success. Zeman looks to two people as major influences on his life. My mother spent 30 years on an assembly line, he says proudly. She recently went to college to get her GED at 58 years old. He also admires CDW Chairman, CEO Michael P. Krasny. He explains, "His business sense helped me get where I am today." Zeman recommends that college graduates don't look for the job that pays the most right out of the gate. "My big thing was that I was a risk taker," he explains. "I gained experience at a couple of different places and used that to move up. For Zeman, it was a matter of stepping back in order to move forward." Task 2. Listen to the report from the VOA Special English Program and then do the following exercises. Teacher of the Year. 1. Listen and write down the answers to the following questions.
This is the VOA Special English Education Report. Betsy Rogers was just chosen Teacher of the Year in the United States. President Bush honored her last week at the White House. As Teacher of the Year, Mrs. Rogers will travel around the country and elsewhere to urge better continuing training for teachers. Betsy Rogers has taught for 22 years. She teaches first and second grade at a very small school near Birmingham, Alabama. The school is called Leeds Elementary. Her students, aged 5 through 7, are mostly poor. To Betsy Rogers, the possibilities of education are endless. She urges other teachers never to decide that a student simply cannot learn something. Instead, she urges teachers to try new methods of explanation. Mrs. Rogers says one of the main problems of schools that serve the poor is that they simply do not get enough money. She also wishes more teachers would work with poor children. She and her husband moved to a farm near Leeds Elementary in the early 1980s. They wanted their two sons to know poor children and those of other races. She's taught at the school ever since. Betsy Rogers uses art, music, and cooking as part of her daily teaching. She got the school to start a program where teachers follow students through the first and second grade. That way, the teachers can measure the children's progress. This method is called looping. Other schools in Alabama now use this method. Mrs. Rogers also takes an interest in her students' lives beyond the classroom. She attends their parties and sports events. To communicate with the whole family, she even sends email to parents. Betsy Rogers was chosen for the national honor from among Teachers of the Years named by 50 states. Mrs. Rogers graduated in 1974 from Samford University in Birmingham, Alabama. In the past 5 years, she has completed 3 more educational programs. She has earned the title of Doctor of Education.
2. Listen again and complete the information.
This is the VOA Special English Education Report. Betsy Rogers was just chosen Teacher of the Year in the United States. President Bush honored her last week at the White House. As Teacher of the Year, Mrs. Rogers will travel around the country and elsewhere to urge better continuing training for teachers. Betsy Rogers has taught for 22 years. She teaches first and second grade at a very small school near Birmingham, Alabama. The school is called Leeds Elementary. Her students, aged 5 through 7, are mostly poor. To Betsy Rogers, the possibilities of education are endless. She urges other teachers never to decide that a student simply cannot learn something. Instead, she urges teachers to try new methods of explanation. Mrs. Rogers says one of the main problems of schools that serve the poor is that they simply do not get enough money. She also wishes more teachers would work with poor children. She and her husband moved to a farm near Leeds Elementary in the early 1980s. They wanted their two sons to know poor children and those of other races. She's taught at the school ever since. Betsy Rogers uses art, music, and cooking as part of her daily teaching. She got the school to start a program where teachers follow students through the first and second grade. That way, the teachers can measure the children's progress. This method is called looping. Other schools in Alabama now use this method. Mrs. Rogers also takes an interest in her students' lives beyond the classroom. She attends their parties and sports events. To communicate with the whole family, she even sends email to parents. Betsy Rogers was chosen for the national honor from among Teachers of the Years named by 50 states. Mrs. Rogers graduated in 1974 from Samford University in Birmingham, Alabama. In the past 5 years, she has completed 3 more educational programs. She has earned the title of Doctor of Education.
Part 3. Listening Strategy. Identifying numbers and telephone numbers. Task 1. Listen to the tape and fill in the blanks with numbers.
1. Air Midwest Flight 923, inbound service from Kansas City, now arriving at gate 25.
2. Flight 316, non-stop to Minneapolis, is now ready for boarding. Passengers, please proceed to gate 13.
3. United Airways Flight 965 for Phoenix now is ready for passenger boarding at gate A3.
4. Air Northern would like to announce the arrival of Flight 2871, service from Chicago. Passengers may be met at gate 22.
5. Attention, please. Air Northern inbound flight 2812 has just arrived and will deplane passengers at gate 16. Task 2. Listen and write down the numbers you hear.
1. In 1900, the population of the United States was 76,100,000.
2. In 1910, the population of the United States was 92,400,000.
3. In 1920, the population of the United States was 106,500,000.
4. In 1930, the population of the United States was 123,100,000.
5. In 1940, the population of the United States was 132,500,000.
6. In 1950, the population of the United States was 152,300,000.
7. In 1960, the population of the United States was 180,700,000.
8. In 1970, the population of the United States was 205,100,000.
9. In 1980, the population of the United States was 227,700,000.
10. In 1990, the population of the United States was 249,900,000.
Task 3. Listen to the tape and fill in the original telephone numbers and the changed ones.
1. The number you have reached, 282-2649, has been disconnected. Calls are being taken by 298-1863. Please make a note of it.
2. The number you have reached, 358-8256, has been disconnected. Calls are being taken by 382-7606. Please make a note of it.
3. The number you have reached, 349-5760, has been disconnected. Calls are being taken by 551-9595. Please make a note of it.
4. The number you have reached, 524-3039, has been changed. The new number is 381-9635. Please make a note of it. If you need help, you may stay on the line and an operator will answer.
Part 4. Extensive listening. Task 1. Listen to the interview and answer the following questions. The first conqueror of Mount Everest. The following is taken from the interview with Sir Edmund Hillary, the first conqueror of Mount Everest.
Everyone knows you for climbing Mount Everest, but what's your life like now?
My career over the years has slowly grown and changed. I've moved from being a child who dreamed a lot and read a lot of books about adventure to actually getting involved in things like mountaineering and then going off to the Himalayas. As I got older, I was more involved in organizing, raising funds, and leading expeditions. I became increasingly interested in the people of the Himalayas. I built up very close friendships with them, and I became concerned about the things that they wanted, schooling and hospitals and things of that nature. In the last 15 years or so, I've also become very much involved in environmental matters. So, I would say that my major interests now are in people and in the environment.
When did you start to make the transition between dreaming about these adventures and actually pursuing them?
When I really started getting going was when I was 16 years old. I went with a school party to a national park area where there were a number of big volcanic mountains. It was the middle of winter and there was snow everywhere. This was the first time I had ever seen snow, and for 10 days I skied and scrambled around the hills. It was the most wonderful experience I'd ever had up to that stage, and I think it really was the beginning of my enthusiasm for mountains and for snow and ice. It built up a very strong affection for mountaineering. I knew from that time that I could do it and enjoy it. Task 2. Listen to the following passage and choose the best answers to the questions you hear.
Why do people enjoy challenges? Why do people enjoy challenges? There are probably many reasons. One is curiosity. Another is the personal feeling of success. Nowadays, for some people, it is a business too. Someone asked Edmund Hillary, one of the first people who climbed Mount Everest, "Why do you risk your life just to stand on a point of land that is a little bit higher?" His answer was climbing gave him a feeling of victory over the mountain and over his weakness. Apart from physical challenges, there are social and intellectual challenges. Leonardo da Vinci enjoyed every possible challenge. He was an artist and painted the well-known picture of Mona Lisa. He was an engineer who made plans for a city with roads underneath the streets for traffic. He was an inventor who invented a device to let people breathe underwater. He was a scientist and learned a great deal about human anatomy. Another kind of challenge faced the ancient Egyptians when they decided to build the first pyramid. They used 6 million tons of rock. That is enough rock to build a 10-foot wall around all of France, Napoleon said. 400,000 men worked for 20 years to build it. Today we still have many challenges before us. Medical science faces the challenge of conquering the many diseases that still attack human beings. And many of us are interested in the challenges of space.
Questions. 1. Why did Edmund Hillary risk his life to climb Mount Everest?
2. Which of the following is not right about Leonardo da Vinci?
3. What was the use of the device Leonardo da Vinci invented?
4. What impressed Napoleon most about the building of the first pyramid?
5. How many tons of rock were used in the building of the first pyramid?
Task 3. Listen to the tape and fill in the missing words or phrases. Quotations.
Every life has its setbacks. Facing those setbacks is what keeps you alive. Anytime you stop striving to get better, you're bound to get worse. I'm convinced that all great breakthroughs in life happen because they deny the crippling fear of failure. So listen to your inner voice that counsels courage, that affirms your life and your ability, and you will tap the power that makes a winner. Pat Riley.
If you want to accomplish anything in life, you can't just sit back and hope it will happen. You've got to make it happen. People complain that I haven't succeeded because I haven't had the luck. You create your own luck. Chuck Norris.
When you are old, you can still be a winner, because winning truly means being the best of what you are, doing the best you can do, regardless of what anybody else says. Joe Lewis.